Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, The Dead House, a conversation with Andy Hopkins. From a very young age, Andy Hopkins learned that he was a beacon to spirits, not all of which were kind. Some were intent on frightening them and forcing them out of their home. In this house, he spent nights cowering in the shadows as they stalked the hallways. Nights spent wondering whether an unseen footstep or force would come his way to scare him, or worse. Today, we step inside the true story of what it was like to grow up with the gift of seeing spirits, and see why this gift was also a curse, as the harrowing spirits twisted and infused their way into his life, changing it forever.
Well, crikey. My story kind of began when my mum and my dad separated, and my mum moved out with me, my brother and my sister. And we moved into, it was just a standard terraced house in the middle of a road, nothing traditionally or typically haunted about the house on Park Road. It had a weird sort of vibe to it when you stepped through, but I was young, so everything kind of looked cavernous. It looked massive. Everything sort of was big, as it is, you know, when you're little.
Sure.
And I remember not long after we moved in, I woke up and I shared a room with my brother. He's quite a bit older than me, but we shared a room at the back of the house. And I had my desk in a particular corner, and I woke up and it was summer, you know, so it was actually a really nice summer. And I just remember waking up freezing cold. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, one of those colds that you think this shouldn't be happening? One of those feelings that you think this should not be happening.
Sure.
And immediately my eyes just floated over towards my desk. And there was just this lady standing there, and it was the room was dark. You could see everything in shadow, but then she was there. She was standing, and she was kind of glowing. Everything about her, she just looked well-to-do. She looked very posh in her own way. How I'd say it to people is she looked like she was going to church. You know, her hair was pristine and perfect. Her outfit was just, it looked pressed. Her smile, you know, the only way I can describe her smile is if you go see your grandma on a Sunday afternoon and she's there with a cup of tea and she hasn't seen you in a month, you know, it's that kind of embrace, and just her eyes seem to be welcoming. And she didn't say anything. She just smiled at me, and that put me at ease. Before I knew it, the room wasn't cold anymore, and I felt warm, and the restless agitation that I was feeling that night sort of melted away. And she just smiled, and it must have been for maybe a minute or so. It seemed longer, but then I just felt myself relaxing again. Before you know it, I was asleep and she was gone. And I didn't really know what a ghost was. You know, I'd grown up with things like Casper.
Sure.
that was my envisionment of a ghost, you know, this floating, smiling ghost from Casper. Mm-hmm. But as I thought it was a bit strange, and I told my mum, I asked her who the lady was, and she was like, well, what lady? And I explained to her, and I went into great detail, and I said she was smiling at me. She helped me go back to sleep, and then she went. And she went, well, there wasn't a lady. You were probably dreaming, but I knew that I wasn't dreaming. I knew that this happened. Mm-hmm. And so my mum sort of passed off. But then she a couple of days later, a little while later, she showed me this newspaper clipping. And it had this picture of this lady in the newspaper clip, and I went, "Hey, what was she doing in my room?" And she went, "Well, she couldn't have been in your room because she died here." And that was my first kind of mind-blowing kind of moment where I was like, "Oh, okay."
So how did your mom come across the newspaper clipping? Did she start doing a little digging without telling you after you shared that? Was she starting to get curious, like, maybe he is seeing something, but I'm not going to acknowledge that yet?
Well, apparently somebody had told her that this had happened. I don't think it was the owner before we moved in. I think it was the one before that, and somebody had told her, and she'd got this newspaper clipping off them. And I think it was the way that I was certain mm-hmm. about how this happened. I mean, we all have weird dreams sometimes. I'm a dad myself, and my kids have some weird dreams. But I knew even though she was saying, "Oh no, you were probably asleep. Don't worry about it." But I know, no, this happened. She yeah. was there, and it was that certainty, I think, that pushed her to believe me a little bit more. I don't think she wanted to kind of go into it too much, just because spirits and ghosts and goblins and ghoulies, they all kind of scare little kids, and I don't think that she wanted sleepless nights, to be quite honest.
So what was the story on the woman who died in the house?
It was simply old age. She mm-hmm. she literally passed away in her sleep is what I was told. And she was a jolly lady. She was lovely apparently in life. I remember the pictures in the paper. It showed her with just in this big family birthday picture, and it was mm-hmm. kind of. It made me think to myself, well, how did I see that? How could I see that? She was nothing harmful at all. She just was there. And I think that she sensed something in me, or felt something in my apprehension that I was feeling in that moment, that night, that she wanted to cool and calm.
Almost being a maternal type figure to you.
Yeah, exactly. She did make me feel like it was a grandmotherly energy. You know, she just felt warm and homely. And thinking back to that night, I do believe that if she hadn't have sort of come through and made herself known to me, I do think that some of the more malicious energies that were in the house would have come through, because it was a similar feeling that I always felt before something nasty would happen in that house. But then she just appeared.
So you have this first experience, and it's warm, it's friendly, it's still all new. But how old are you at this point?
I would have been about 4 or 5.
Okay.
I was very young.
Sure. I mean, so almost anything at that point in life, whether paranormal or not, we're all experiencing so many things. And if a paranormal experience happens to us at that moment, it kind of goes into our lexicon as, well, this just must be part of life, you know, whether it is or not, because you have that experience and others may not have had an experience like that. And in this first one you had, you realize that this is something that's not necessarily common, but it is something that happened to you, but it was warm and it was friendly. This obviously kind of puts a perspective in your mind of how maybe ghosts are, or all spirits are, if that's in fact, you know, what it was, you know, when you're trying to figure all of that out. How did things continue to progress in the house after that night of seeing the lady in your room?
It's funny how you kind of say about, you know, that it was just me accepting it in a way. And I personally think that everybody is born with a certain ability to see spirit, whether it be actually physically seeing something or feeling something. You know, how many of us sort of go into a room and just don't like it immediately? You know, I think everybody has a degree of energy awareness, but I think how I reacted to that quite openly when I was on that first experience, it kind of gave the other energies in the house a target, so to speak. You know, so although this was a kind of a blessed meeting of this lady, it also had the downside of, I do think that the other spirits in the house were sort of, right, okay, he's the one that we're going to go for. And I think that's from that happening, from me meeting the old lady there, things just sort of escalated. And it starts with the smaller things. Like it starts with you seeing shadows or getting random cold spots. I remember in our house, to me, it was quite a big house, but it was being a terrace house, there was houses either side. So, you know, it wasn't a particularly cold house,
mm-hmm.
but when I remember walking sort of upstairs to go to my bedroom, and there was like a cold spot that moved, okay, and it just felt like walking through between like a one train car and another train car, you know, when it just hits you, and you walk back and it's not there, and so the cold spots were something that affected me more than everybody else, and as we all could kind of settle down in the house, there was things that everybody were hearing. We're sitting downstairs watching the TV, and we just hear thump, 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 walking along the landing. And you could tell that, I remember thinking, it can't just be me that's heard that. And I could see when these bangs and these knocks would happen, that people would look immediately to the source of the sound, which was upstairs in the hallway. And my mum looked scared when I'd seen this, because there was only us in the house, and she knew that it was only us in the house, yet she would have looked at us, and particularly my sister probably was and is still the most scared of things spiritually. But she would always make an excuse. She would say, oh, it's just the house set in. It was the pipe. The heating's clipped on again, you know. And although my brother and my sister particularly kind of accepted that, I thought, well, no, because I've heard the radiators glugging and it sounds a lot different to that, you know. And I think because I was acknowledging it as I do today, acknowledge spirit. If you acknowledge spirit or acknowledge the paranormal, it tends to accept that and make himself known more to us. So as I was accepting the fact that this wasn't just the house creaking, it was more, I started to experience a lot more. And I can remember one incident which was terrifying. I was always sent to bed early because I was the youngest. And, you know, I hated going to bed on my own. And my mum would sort of tuck me up in bed, and she'd leave the landing light on, and she'd leave the door open slightly. And one I just saw, the doors in Park Road were thick. They were proper wooden doors, not like we get in today's new buildings.
Sure, sure.
They were thick wooden doors, and the carpets were pretty thick as well, to be quite honest, in the bedroom areas. And I just heard that, like, the shoving of the door. I heard the door move, and you really had to push them over the carpet. You could hear it running along the carpet. And I just sort of looked up, and I looked around my wardrobe, which was pretty close, right next to my bed. And I just saw this shadow just glide in to the room.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were at the back of the house as well, it couldn't have been any cars or anything. Park Road was a quiet road at the time as well. And it sort of glided against the wall. And I was just stood, laying there, just stuck watching this go around the room,
mm-hmm.
and kind of approach the chimney breast. And we had a cupboard, like a chest of drawers in front of the chimney breast. And instead of this shadow kind of reached going over the chest of drawers as well, it just went behind it.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.